Welcome back to the Activation Phase. This is Tim, and I'm here with JP today, as always.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. All right, we are doing the Greek cities today, and there's a bunch of equipment options to go through before we get to the battle board, and like a few extra special rules. So, JP, do you want to go into the first special rule, or do you have any history on this, or how do we do this?
I think we can skip the history because it's just going to take.
Nice.
I think this one is already going to be long enough as it is.
Yeah.
Skip all the fluff, lore, and just get straight to the special rules. So,
yeah. Cool.
They have a cool little rule called line of battle. And as we've seen with a lot of the Age of Alexander boards, there's a lot of keywords and a lot of abilities function only if you have specific keywords. So this is one of them. So a line of battle is made up of a group of at least two separate units with a phalanx special rule, forming a chain of units not more than very short apart from each other. And in the book, they have a very helpful illustration to visualize this. So if you haven't bought the book by now, you probably should. But if you've made it this far through our series, well, it's good for you, but just buy the book, okay? So your line of battle is equal to the number of units in it. In addition to needing the phalanx special rule, units of at least 10 warriors or 6 hearthguard count as 2 units for this calculation. So you can, that's one way of boosting some of the bonuses. And then finally, mercenary units can also be included in line of battle if they have the phalanx special rule. And you can have multiple different lines of battle at once. So you need to kind of like when you play an ability requiring a line of battle, you need to specify which one it applies to. All right. That's that. And
cool.
Your warlord does not count as being part of the line of battle.
And mercenaries can be included in your line of battle if they have the phalanx special rule, which would be the Greek mercenaries, which these guys can't take, and the Thorikitai, which these guys can take, spoiler, and you should. And I think that's it for phalanx, right? For this book.
Possibly. There's too many to tell.
Do you want to go into the cities and see what they can do and their equipment options? And every city has a separate special rule to keep in mind. So do you want to go in, JP? Yep.
Let's start off with the Athenians and minor cities. So the special rule for the Athenians is the veterans of the cities. So units with this special rule increase the size of any line of battle it is part of by 1. So the warlord can be on foot, on or mounted on a horse. Hearthguards are on to have the phalanx special rule, and one, or you could only take one unit of hearthguards, and they have the veterans of the city special rule. Warriors can be on foot with phalanx, or they can be mounted on horses, and you can only take one unit. Or finally, the levies have either bows or slings, or they take javelins with no special rules attached to them.
Right. So that's the Athenians. Then we have and we just looked this up, Lacedaemonians, right? That's how you say it. And they have the Spartan special rule. Units with the Spartan special rule never withdraw from melee when they are the defenders. If they should withdraw when they're defending, they instead take an additional fatigue after the melee has been resolved and the opponent has withdrawn. When an attacking enemy unit withdraws from melee with the unit that has the Spartan special rule, it suffers an additional fatigue at the end of its withdrawal. Their warlord has no equipment option and has the Spartan special rule. Their hearthguard have no equipment option, have the phalanx and Spartan special rule. Their warriors have no equipment option and the phalanx special rule. And their levies can either be on horse with javelins or on javelins. And the horse unit with javelins can be just maximum one unit and only up to 8 figures. And spoiler, I think that's terrible.
We're kind of going through this quite quickly, but the next one are the Thebans. So here they have a pretty cool special rule called the oblique phalanx. So Theban armies were made up of phalanxes that were much deeper than those used by other Greek cities, more than 50 ranks deep. All right, we're not going to reach 50 ranks in Saga, but you can increase your unit sizes. Units with the oblique phalanx special rule have the phalanx special rule, must contain at least 10 figures during deployment and can contain up to 18 figures. Units of 13 figures or more count as three units when calculating the number of units in the line of battle. So here the unit options are a lot simpler. So your warlord has no equipment option. Your warriors have no equipment option and have the oblique phalanx. And the levies can have javelins and you can't take any hearthguard. Nice and simple.
Right. Really. Yeah, the levies must have javelins, right? So I think that's not too bad. But yeah, the oblique phalanx, I think, really helps. 13 warriors generating two dice instead of one can be quite tasty, I think. Last up are the Thessalians. They have the Thessalian cavalry special rule. When your Thessalian warband totals the line of battle, you can count your units with the mount horse special rule as well as your infantry. Mounted units in line of battle can be separated by short instead of very short. Keep in mind that a unit of infantry and a mounted unit can't be separated by more than very short if they are both to count as part of the same line of battle. As long as they're generating a saga die, units with the Thessalian cavalry special rule count as phalanxes in relation to saga abilities on the Greek city's battle board. So, this is your cavalry faction. Your warlord is mounted on a horse. Your hearthguard are mounted on a horse, and they have the Thessalian cavalry special rule. Your warriors can either be on foot and have the phalanx special rule, or they can be mounted on horse and have the Thessalian cavalry special rule. And your levies have javelins. So, yeah, these are your... I mean, the Greeks are already fast, but these guys can probably be even faster. Quite interesting, for sure.
Yeah, okay, that brings us to the battle board itself.
Yes, so, let's get into it.
Yep, I'll start off with the basic abilities. So the first four abilities are exactly as you would expect. So your standard heroes and hearthguard, your warriors and your levies, and then your combat bonus as usual. However, instead of the activation pool, you have something called Form the Line, and this takes any of the dice facings. So this is an activation, so activate all or some units in the line of battle to move short. Up to one of these activations can be a charge instead of a movement. So straight off the bat, we have a gigantic, easy to activate multiple activation using the line of battle. So pretty efficient, I must say.
I mean, they're quite... I mean, they're quite slow, right? Because they can only move S, and that also counts for the Thessalian cavalry on their horses, and that also counts for normal models, but it's just a one die to activate, like, five units on the table is pretty good. I don't think... Is there any other faction that can have, like, five activations for a die? For one die? Probably. But I'm not sure there is.
Is Jom's Vikings? No.
They have three for one, right?
Yeah, three for one. Pagan people have three for one.
Yeah, but it's a common here as well. So yeah. It's all right. First advanced battleboard ability, Sons of Omer. Orders reaction for a common. Until the end of the turn, your phalanx units, which are in a line of battle and have closed ranks, take a -1 penalty to their attack dice, but increase their armor by +1. I think it's one of the less good abilities. I think they're so good at defending anyway that you don't really need this, because the -1 penalty to their attack dice can really, really hurt. Like, it makes it so juicy to attack these guys. And so if you really need this to keep your stuff safe or whatever, you can, I'm sure there's people that can make use of this properly, but I think it is one of the first abilities and one of the maybe less good.
Still wouldn't charge a unit if they had this up, to be honest. I was it just seems somewhat pointless. So I think it's pretty good if you to discourage people, and if you have a warband that can shoot a little bit, I would just focus on just throwing some javelins while someone has this on their battle board, to be honest. But I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I had more of a bad experience against this.
Yeah, one thing you can't forget, right, is if you go in with Hearthguard, and they have one fatigue, that's enough, then they can't hit you. Like, like that's just innately having a minus one penalty, I think makes it very, can be very tempting to play all your melee attack melee abilities in one turn to try to wipe as many without basically losing anything. I'm maybe it's not the way. I have experienced this as the Greek Cities player and as, for example, a Persian player playing into the Greek Cities, that this also stacks with exhaustion. So it just an innate minus two when you're attacking them, I think. I don't think I don't think that you should put a die here.
All right. Okay, so the next one is without courage. So this is using either a common or an uncommon, an activation ability. So this is for units with ranged weapons. So activate a unit for a move that generates no fatigue. This movement can be made through a friendly unit. So first of all, movements without fatigue, especially for guys with javelins, are pretty damn sweet to keep them nice and fresh. Also, it means that you can activate a unit of levies for a common, which is always very useful, especially because they don't benefit from the form of the line, since they don't have phalanx. So it makes it pretty easy to activate them as well. I'm not sure how much use you'll be able to doing. Like, you'll use the moving through friendly units. I mean, you kind of have... The units tend to be pretty big with the Greeks, so it might be difficult to move them around. However, when place I do see this coming very, very useful is the mounted options, so the Thessalian units. I think there that might be pretty useful.
Yeah, I mean, yes. The problem I see with them is, of course, that they can only be like 8 levy javelin.
Oh yeah, no, and also the Thessalians, they don't have any javelins, so that means you can't actually use them. Or the mounted guys don't have javelins.
Oh yeah, yeah, but the Spartans have javelin levy, right? With the 8 mounted javelin levy. Which is a problem. So yeah, yeah, I think. I mean, you said it. It's a common for a move with no fatigue through friendly units. So, if you have a 12 stack of levies, just don't mind the moving through friendly units. Just take it for a move with no fatigue. Like, move them up, shoot. Move them with no fatigue, shoot, and then maybe put a die on them, shoot again. It's like 16 attacks, and then you get one fatigue. It's not. I think it's not too bad.
Yep.
Next up is Marathon, and this is the workhorse of this battle board, I think, with Formline. It takes an uncommon or a rare. It's an activation. When Formline is next triggered, the moves and charge it makes generate no fatigue and are made with a distance of short plus very short, or short plus short if you use a rare, so 6 or 8 inches. And if you keep that in mind, then these guys are very fast. Very fast, actually, because you can move a unit that has phalanx, just move them up normally, keep in line of battle, so that's 6 inches. And then through Marathon, they activate another 8 inches for a charge, for example. So it's very good. I think it's 14 inches, no fatigue. It's a good charge, not, and then 6, like it's like 20 inches with one fatigue, which is still pretty good. So it's, I'm quite impressed with them.
Yeah, I think the thing that surprises you here is that you expect the Greek phalanxes to be slow.
Yes.
And then after playing them once, you realize that this is wrong.
Yes.
And they are so speedy, which is a little bit of an issue, especially when you want to just run away and shoot them.
You can't.
More of the story. So
this
is definitely this is a workhorse, and why wouldn't you play this, to be honest?
Yeah
All right, so the next one is Aspis Coile, something like that. So this is a common or an uncommon, again an orders reaction. So all your phalanx units count as being in light cover until the end of the turn. Yes, this kind of mitigates against not having any shooting reaction or defense against shooting, except for just being mostly warriors. So, I mean, you get being in light cover means that you save on threes instead of fours on your defense dice. So that's always pretty solid. And it kind of mitigates just, kind of the chipping damage you get from like all the javelins and whatever is being thrown at you. So yeah, it's pretty solid, especially for a common. And if you're facing like Persians or whatever, I think it helps a little bit. It's not going to completely stop damage coming in, but it does mean that like every attack, it's not like you're just focusing on defending like against one really good attack. You're focusing on every single shooting attack that's coming your way. So that's pretty solid.
Yes.
And also,
yeah, but you're right. This is for every shooting attack they take this turn. And then this, usually if you're playing into Persians, I think you can try to just hide in terrain, but these guys cannot touch terrain. I cannot stress this enough. If they touch terrain, they lose phalanx. They lose the ability to activate basically like five out of the abilities. Yeah, you could say like six even. So yeah, they cannot touch terrain ever. And so having this be your pseudo terrain, I think is good. And this, of course, is very good. If you know you're only going to be shot, having this up and maybe a combo bonus or two is going to basically shut down any shooting you're receiving that turn. All right, next up is Impassable Wall. It's a melee ability for phalanx only that takes two uncommons. For each of up to four units in your line of battle, you can either inflict an additional automatic hit on the enemy unit or cancel a casualty you suffered after rolling your defense dice. This is expensive, but it's also good. The four automatic hits can be devastating into Hearthguard, into a Warlord, and the four automatic saves are incredibly good for your Hearthguard or for your Warriors even. Especially for the Hearthguard. So it's expensive, but it can be a priority to get this off as many times as you can, because it's reliable. Auto hits are reliable. Auto casualty saves are reliable. So this definitely helps the Greek playstyle to keep the important units alive, keep your line of battle together, and then do damage where it needs to be done.
Yeah. Also, this is this stops the warbands, which have like one really really good hammer blow per turn.
Yeah, shuts them down. Yeah.
You're just not going to do very much, especially if they if they add some of the other abilities. So that means that they have to start charging multiple times, and then they can't have that one really sweet combo all maxed out to do a lot of damage. So I think this is just so good at shutting down that kind of damage.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. So the next one is called File Leaders, and you can play this using either uncommon or a rare. It's a melee ability and requires phalanx. So gain two attack dice or defense dice, or four if you use a rare. If you win the melee, remove a fatigue from each of the other units in your unit's line of battle. So the attack or defense dice, like, there's nothing wrong with that. I think the tastiest part is getting rid of fatigue. So if I read this correctly, it means that you can't remove fatigue from the unit itself that's triggering this in the melee.
That's correct.
But you can remove it from the units around it and in the line of battle. So if you're being charged multiple times or something like that, or you've moved multiple times and you're being charged, this is pretty sweet to play first. And then you can remove fatigue from the units around you. And that means that it becomes a lot more difficult to charge them. Especially if you've moved twice, for example, if you're using Marathon or something like that.
Even without Marathon, right? If you move the other stuff first, just form the line twice, move the other stuff first so they all have a fatigue, and then charge these guys in, play Fire Leaders and remove the fatigue from all the other units, and then play form line with Marathon to charge another unit with no fatigue. And it can definitely be powerful.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah, the attack dice or defense dice, I mean, sure, I think people would even play this without the attack or defense dice, because because removing two or three fatigues with an uncommon is pretty sweet. Right, next up is We Are One. It takes a common and it's a melee ability only for phalanx. Cancel up to half the casualties suffered by inflicting a casualty on a different unit in your unit's line of battle for each casualty cancelled. The other units in the line of battle can only each take a single casualty this way. So this, I think, is semi-good if you play this on Hearthguard and then kind of like dish out the casualties onto your warrior units, then it can be great value to save a few Hearthguard. And this can also really help to like evenly pull down the casualties or keep a unit over the threshold of 10 warriors to like still remain as a unit that counts as two units for the line of battle. Since the sizes of the warriors and Hearthguard are so important for your special rules and for phalanx, like you need to generate a die to have phalanx, and you need to have like 6 or 10 warriors or Hearthguard to count as two. So I think this can help to kind of mitigate the problem of your opponent. If he knows how the Greek cities work, there's definitely weak spots in the line that you can fight to start taking off phalanx special rule or just a saga die from the Thebans or stuff like that. So this can help to kind of put the casualties on units that you want them to be on, but you're still taking casualties. Like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the next one is called Stoic. So this requires two commons to play. And this is a melee ability for a phalanx defender. So gain one attack dice and one defense dice for each unit in your unit's line of battle, up to a maximum of 4 of each type. So yeah, I mean, I think it's not too difficult to get to the cap, especially early in the game, for 4 of each type. I'm not sure the two commons are really worth it compared to some of the other abilities on here, actually. Like, it's not a bad ability, but I think there's just some better ones out there. How do you feel about it?
Right, I think the two commons, if you check out the board, like all the other abilities that can take commons instead of like We Are One can also take an uncommon. So I'm not sure the uncommons are in insane demand on this board, and then the uncommons, the commons are like, I think they usually end up being warrior activations or form line. Something has to be form line, right? So spending two on those here can be expensive, but if you only roll commons, then might as well play Stoic. I think it's not too bad.
Yeah.
8 dice for 2 saga dice, not too bad.
All right.
Next up is Oracles. It takes a rare and it's an Order's ability, and this is kind of like your activation pool. Roll a die and have the result. Take that many available saga dice, roll them, add them to your inactive saga dice. Add 1 to the result of your die if your lines of battle have a total size of 4 or more, and +2 if they have a total size of 6 or more. So with the new who can do more can do less, did I say that right this time? I did, right? Yeah. This can be a very, very, very good activation pool, because if you like the average result would be like a 3 or 4, right? So like 2 on average. And then if you have a big line of battle, which is, I think, is kind of easy to make, it's another +2. So for one rare, if you play it right, you can get 4 more saga dice, which isn't too bad. The only problem I see with this is the high line of battle count. You have that in the beginning of the game, and where you also have a high saga dice count. And then at the end, where you would need the high line of battle count to make this thing really work, and where you don't have the saga dice anymore, then it's kind of like counter productive. It doesn't really synergize. Counter is synergetic, you know, because this would be very, very good in the beginning, but you already have the good amount of saga dice, and this is kind of harder to pull off in the end, but then you need the saga dice, and there's no orders on here, so you can't spend your dice in your orders phase and then use this. So yeah, In the mid game, turn three or four, this is great. This usually gives you two or three saga dice for the run wear, which is good, and it can be more. So, yeah, in the end, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, no, I agree. It makes it a little bit strange to play, but
yeah,
maybe the first kind of dud of the board.
I mean, for me, after Sons of Omer.
All right. Okay. we actually made it to the last one. So it's called Inspiration. Yes. And this is using a uncommon. This is the order's reaction. So until the end of the turn, each of your phalanxes can reroll two defense dice during every melee. Beast mode. So yes, rerolling defense dice, always great. Especially if you're going to be closing ranks, like your guys are already pretty survivable with some of the other abilities, like the Aspis, the Impassable Wall, for example. Your guys are not going to die, basically. And this is for every single melee as well. So again, like the Aspis Coil, it just counts for every single time. So this is a pretty valuable one if you're going to be charged multiple times. I don't see a downside of this whatsoever. It's pretty demoralizing for your opponent.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to keep in mind, I think these guys need to bring Thorakitai because they can benefit from form, line, and marathon. So your Thorakitai suddenly take no fatigue from moving twice. They can move super fast. It's ridiculous. And they already provide the defense dice rerolls for every melee in the whole turn, as long as they're in range, which they usually are. So the inspiration seems like a good ability, but since every Greek Cities player is taking Thorakitai anyway, I don't see inspiration being played ever, because the Thorakitai literally have the same buff but better.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the best battle board design or whatever. Or it's okay though. It's okay.
All right. So, I guess we've made it to the end of the board. Also, the last Age of Alexander board.
Yeah, series. Kind of sad actually. So, love these.
Quite a milestone. It's been a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
I think we're finishing off pretty strong on the Greek cities. Before we head into the ruses, should we maybe talk about some of the compositions of the warbands? And
yes,
maybe how you see them being played.
Yes. So I think it's quite easy to kind of sum up the four factions into their strong suits. Like the Athenians, I think really benefit from being able to do like a mixed army. They can have the bows even, which is great. No other of these cities has that. And then they can have the warriors on foot or on horse, and they can have the warlord on foot or on horse, and they can have the levies with bows or javelins. And I think being able to kind of decide on the spot where you want to have is great. The Spartans, I think they really, really love their Hearthguard, and they're really good keeping them safe with warriors until they like want to be in front, want to charge. Think is very viable and hurts a lot, and so the Spartans take the Hearthguard heavy route. The Thebans, they just take the full points in warriors if they can, and take like 1 point of Thorakitai mercenaries. So 5 points of warriors and 1 point of Thorakitai mercenaries works for sure. I have been beaten by that before, and it doesn't feel good. And then the Salians, it's quite funny, but these horses, the Thessalian horses, are the best unit to go into into terrain in this faction, because the foot warriors with phalanx, they lose the phalanx special rule once they touch terrain, but the Thessalian cavalry, they don't lose their ability to count as being a phalanx when they touch terrain. So they're like, funnily enough, they're the best unit to go into terrain and fuck shit up. So I think them being able to be on foot and be insanely fast with this warband is definitely interesting. So yeah, the Spartan, like Hearthguard heavy, do the Spartans. If you want to go really mixed, take the Athenians. If you want to go warriors only, go Thebans. And then if you want to go if you want to have horses in your Greek cities, then it's Thessalians for you.
Yep, I think that's a pretty good summary. One question is, we're saying how good they are, but how would you beat them?
Just put like as much terrain down as you can. And if your faction can't handle terrain, then don't worry about it. They can handle it even less well. So just put down as much uneven terrain as you can. And on your side, like light cover, solid cover, everything. It's just gonna hurt them. And so make it hard. And then also be nasty. Put your units within short of them, like next to terrain, so they have no option but going into terrain because they are forced to. If they can't touch your mini, and short is enough to touch your mini, then they have to go through the terrain. And so they immediately, by charging you without, they have no option, they will lose the phalanx rule. So you're playing around terrain, not just like putting it down, but also playing with it, like playing near it, can really beat these guys up, because suddenly they can't use impassable wall, they can't use we are one, they can't use phyletus, they can't use stoic. So yes, also like the inspiration for the phalanxes only works as long as you have phalanx. So as soon as you touch terrain, you don't get the rerolls anymore, you don't get sons of Omer, the buff for your defense dice, you don't get to count as being a light cover because you're not phalanx as soon as you touch terrain. So
so I think one thing which we found out was that the scenario choice does have a big impact on this. So stuff like feasting and pillaging or ambush and some of the Rod rules scenarios as well require you to have a big hill in the middle that's open ground. That makes it a little bit more tough on the non-Greek player in terms of not having any control on kind of like a whole section of the middle of the board in terms of putting terrain down.
Yeah, well, like the objectives are, right? So
yeah. So that makes it a little bit more difficult and gives a little bit of free rein on the Greek cities. But except for that, if you have the choice, yeah, just would you say a big rough hill or a big wood is like the first thing that goes down on the middle of the board if you can.
Right. All right. Let's get into the ruses. So the first one is a recruitment ruse. It's called the 10,000. Athenians and minor cities only. Your warband no longer has the veterans of the city special rule, and you cannot recruit any levies. Up to half of your warrior figures on foot can be equipped with javelins, and the restriction on units of Hearthguard doesn't apply. The only mercenaries you can hire are Cretan archers and Thracian mercenaries, who must fight on foot. It's one coin. I think this is the worst ruse I've seen yet. Like, I don't see the point in this. I mean, it's probably thematic. I don't get why it's thematic. The equipment options are less good. And so I don't think, if you want to go Hearthguard only, I guess for the Athenians, this is the way. But yeah, I wouldn't use this even for a coin.
All right, so the next one is also recruitment, and it's called the Ionian Cities. Again, Athenians and minor cities only. So your warband no longer has the veterans of the city special rule, and you can't recruit any Hearthguard. No more than half of your figures in your warband can be warriors with the phalanx special rule. You can recruit up to 2 units of Scythian horsemen with a loyal special rule, in addition to your normal choice of mercenaries. Again, for 1 point. You kind of want phalanx with this warband, so I'm not sure why you would choose this ever.
Yeah, the Scythian.
The Scythians are cool, Benjamin. But they don't really mesh too well cool. with the rest. The abilities.
They don't. They don't. Yes.
So, yeah, you're playing a warband where you can't really use any of the advantages.
Like, it's such a joke giving them loyal while they have literally no option to like use any of the abilities. They can only use maybe without courage if you take the Scythians with their composite bows, but what?
So far, not great on the ruse front, guys.
It's a joke. Yeah. All right, next one is Gorge. Nice name. It's a preparation ruse. Use this card once when you're setting up the scenery before any terrain pieces have been placed. Place a large area of high terrain within medium of any table edge. This piece of scenery is impassable. No unit can enter or cross it. You can't place any more large areas of terrain while you're setting up the scenery, but your opponent can. So it's two coins. And I think it's horrible because you need the big open hill. Like, you need the big open hill, otherwise your opponent's gonna just keep on putting terrain down and you're gonna hate that. So being denied that makes this like even worse than not playing it, to be honest. I hope I'm not being too negative on these ruses, but like I see these as like a proper downgrade on your normal insane abilities. So cool.
All right. Where were we? Large shields. So the next one is a veteran's ability called Large Shields. So hearth guards or oblique phalanxes only. Each time a shooting activation is resolved against your unit, it cancels the first hit suffered. This is for 3 coins. So I guess this one's pretty good against the with your Spartans, because you don't want to be losing guys to javelins if you're bringing a ton of hearth guard. And it's probably the best one so far. So I guess you'll be spending 3 coins on this.
Sure. Nothing else, really. Just don't forget. Yeah, your opponent can just switch targets. Like, there's nothing forcing him to shoot the unit with this. And of course, you can do some blocking, but javelin guys are tough to block, to be honest. So yeah. All right. Next one is a stratagem ruse called Thermopylae. It's for the Spartans, so the Lacedaemonians, right? Lacedaemonians, we call them. Use this card during step 1 of a melee in which one of your units with phalanx special rule is the defender and is more than short away from any friendly units. This unit counts as part of a line of battle with 3 units in it. Yes. To be honest, not too bad. Not too bad. This is a clutch moment ability to play stoic, so get 3 attack, 3 defense dice, to play impassable wall, 3 auto hits, 3 auto defense. Sure. Not too bad. This can, if you want to have a single unit going rogue, not working with line of battle, whatever, whatsoever, like form line, just running around on their own, sure. Not too bad.
All right. Yeah, I guess if you're running the Spartans, sure. So the next one is another stratagem. So this is Determined Advance. So play this card when you use a Form the Line basic ability for the first time. Each move or charge made during this multiple activation is made with a distance of M instead of the short you usually get. So this is for 3 coins.
Yes.
So I guess it's pretty obvious, unless you're playing Spartans, that you're going to be using Large Shields and Determined Advance. Just because everything else is really terrible. So I'm glad we covered the ruses, Tim. Yes. This was really inspiring. Yeah, I mean,
let's just give the verdict. Like, do not use these unique ruses. Use the general ruses in Hannibal, or like in the, I don't know, the general ruses you can use, because it's once, and it's only like 2 inches more, which is, I mean, 2 inches can be a lot. We said that last episode, I think, as well. Oh shit, this is becoming a thing. Yeah, but like, for 3 coins, man, there's like amazing things for 3 coins. So big note.
Yeah, so you might as well just buy them and then forget you actually bought the ruses. And then probably you're better off for it. So, all right. So far, really good battle board, really good equipment options. Ruses, not a big fan. Let's move on to the model selection then. Here, yeah. I guess there's just a crazy amount of options out there. I think
insane.
If you go to the Victrix site, you're gonna be scrolling down quite a lot, just in terms of different city states. They cover, I think, every single one of the options in here, actually, with the exception of the Thessalians, except for there, just grab their generic guys on horses and generic Greek warriors, and then you're pretty much good to go. So I think, yeah, really, this is probably one of the most well-served warbands in terms of just plastic models, if you like Victrix, that is.
Yeah, and I mean, if you'd go metal, and I'm not super big on metal, but I think there's amazing metal rangers, like with character, especially for the Spartans. Like for the Spartans, you can find anything really. There's 3D files, there's amazing ones as well. There's Mortal Gods, right? Which are also is also the same scale, I think, and has the Spartans. And there's like there's so many good metal miniatures for the Spartans. And then yeah, like Foundry has some guys. It's yeah, for these guys, you can find a million different poses and miniatures, and yeah, it's really
cool. There are also some of the older kits from Victrix, so they're a little bit simpler, and they're also ridiculously cheap, like some like 48 models for 32 euros or something, and then you're good to go basically, because
the Thebans are literally 48. You can literally buy 48 warriors for £21, I think. So yeah, that's a whole warband for £20, and you can get like for like $3 you get a warlord for it, and then you're good. Go for it. It's a good warband.
It's really solid warband. You don't have to worry about making choices. Yeah. You just make three big units and you're good to go.
Like who wants to charge 16 warriors that even if they close ranks, they're still going to throw 8 dice. Like that's probably more than you're throwing right now. So yeah.
So
quite disgusting.
Insane. Really good model options. So many. Yeah, I think they've been covered by so many different manufacturers. Some of the metal models as well, they're just really characterful, even though they look kind of old, but I think they have a lot of charm, especially in the book itself. I don't know what the models are, but the Spartan models that they have pictures of in the book look really cool and very, very dramatic. It's just what's not to like. And then on top of that, it really lends itself to having like somewhat uniformity in terms of uniforms or shields or something like that. So it makes them look really, really nice. The Victrix shield transfers just makes it kind of means that the shield, which covers 90% of the body, you can get away with a relatively sloppy paint job and a nice shield, and then you're good to go. So
yeah, absolutely. Shields make and break.
So
these guys.
I think they're painting wise. You're pretty much good to go. You just need a little, like a light spray paint, and then some contrast paint, and then a decal on the shield, and then you've got a very nice looking warband.
I think it's looking pretty, pretty good for the Greek cities, like for everything, playstyle, models, power, power wise. Speaking of power, well, how many? What would you give them out of 5? What item and what rating?
I would give them what were the Greeks? I was like trying not to be super super un-PC with the Greeks. I would give them 5 Aristotles out of 5.
Yeah. Yes, I'll give them 1 mountain goat out of 5, and 4 for Usain Bolt. I think that's fair.
All right. I think this is very it's been a very scientific rating of the Greek battle board. Makes sense.
Yeah.
This I think we're going to be seeing a lot of the Greeks. I think there's going to be a gradual outflow of
overflow, one could say, yes.
The way it happens is there will be an outflow of the Greculi from Age of Hannibal, and which will mysteriously appear in Greek city-state warbands. And then people are going to be like, no, I always played Greek city-states. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no,
I'm not
what?
Jumping on the one.
Greculi who? Yeah, I mean, they were they were represented 5 times at your like 24 play event, right? In Amersfoort.
I think more. Especially once you split up all the different ones. I think the only one that wasn't was the Thessalian one.
Yeah. I mean, they're also like the ones that take the longest time to paint, and they're the ones which
actually require skill to play.
which are like yes, and which are hardest to kind of just steal from your Greculi. So They might. We'll probably see the Thessalians in like half a year, maybe.
Yeah,
7 months.
I think it's gonna be a tough one to play as well because it's maybe less obvious in terms of what you want to do, but
yeah, definitely more skill based. Right. Yeah,
are we cool. Rounding off this age?
Yeah, Age of Alexander was nice. Yeah, I think man, this it was one nice. Was,
ended up probably so far much more interesting than Age of Hannibal from my side, at least.
Absolutely.
I think they really kind of hit their stride. Every single warband is unique. Every single warband has some interesting special rules. You do see like a proliferation of more complex rules coming into Saga. A lot more exceptions and stuff like that. But I don't think they've kind of swamped it yet. So I think, they've had a nice little balance here in terms of making it like a little bit more complex. Speaking of making things a little bit more complex, I think we're going to go back to the basics here.
Yes, let's go home, yes. Man. Let's go home.
The OG era.
yes.
So we're probably going to cover Age of Vikings next. It's been asked a few times.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's been out now for 5 years, but it seems whenever somebody posts the Age of Viking tournament, it basically instantly fills up in our part of the Northwestern Europe. So people love it. There's 12 really solid factions plus some really good old friend new enemies.
That's not right. There's 11 factions that are really like fun, and then there's like and good, and then there's Vikings, right? Like let's
Vikings
be honest.
Are OP.
right.
But that's fine. I think we can somewhat agree. However, I'm looking forward to losing to Vikings and people telling us that we're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and they're the Vikings. You can definitely make them work. Like it's not like they're unworkable. So we've seen them work before, and that I think that's really cool. And I think someone said to me that they should be OP because they're the OG faction in there. But I'm not sure I agree. So yeah, all right, cool, really cool. Looking forward to it. And thank you guys very much for listening through the whole Age of Alexander. If you did, that is. And I'm looking forward to talking Age of Vikings.
Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll be speaking to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.